Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday, July the 20th, 2026, 7-20-26. 16 coming up on 17 minutes after the hour, and we're off and running on another Monday morning here. Now, something I want to talk about, it's a little trivial, I guess, but maybe not so much, depending on who you are, before we get to the big topics of the day. You know, right after the county fair, which was, what, 2 weeks ago? On Route 95, there is a banner, Marion Mount Gilead Road, however you refer to it. There's a banner down in front of what used to be Marion Catholic High School. I forget what it's called now. An academy in there. And it's hanging over the road. A banner hangs over the road. And it was up there for the Marion County Fair. And the Monday after the Marion County Fair, there was a city truck out there at 7:30 in the morning, and they have to park right in the middle of the road to take down the banner. Now, I understand this has to happen. The banner has to come down, and I'm not against banners in the middle of the road. Nothing wrong with that. But I just think maybe you should not put a city truck in the center lane of the busiest street in Marion when the sun is coming up on a Monday morning. I think this might be a little dangerous. But it happened. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Now, I don't know what banner had been up there for the last 2 weeks, but it only could have been up for 2 weeks because the fair's only been gone for 2 weeks, over for 2 weeks. So this morning, I'm driving down the road again, and here is this truck again, taking down another banner in the exact same place at the exact same time, 7:30 on a Monday morning. Now, I don't want to tell you how to run the city, and I'm not even sure who's setting this up, to be honest with you. But I'm telling you, somebody is going to eventually hit that truck. Now, I hope that doesn't happen, but that's eventually going to happen because it's a busy street. The sun is coming up in the morning. People don't expect the truck to be there. And it's right in the center of the road. And apparently they are doing this more often than not now. I'm not sure what banner was up there for 2 weeks, but that banner was already coming down this morning. So just a little word to the wise. I know some people downtown listen to this program. Maybe that's not the best idea. Now, I understand these banners have to come up and come down, but maybe you should do that. In the afternoon, when it's a little less busy, maybe early in the morning. I don't know if these people work on the weekend or not. You know, a Sunday evening would probably not be a bad time to take that down. You might have to pay overtime for that. I just think it's not a good idea, and that is my little rant for this Monday morning. So there you go. That's all I'm saying. And if anybody has anything to say in regard to that, feel free to give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, on to the bigger news of the morning. Today is a big day in Marion, and I think it will actually, a lot of tales are going to be told today that I'm sure we'll be talking about tomorrow, because tonight is the City Council Committee meetings, 6:30, second floor of City Hall, in which flock cameras will be discussed. It is on the agenda for the Administrative Codes Committee. Ralph Smith, Scott Kreider, and Dan Clark. Now, this legislation was written by Thad Smith and Aaron Rollins, So, where will it go tonight? There are a lot of questions about this tonight. Now, is Chief Jay McDonald going to bring a lot of material showing us how flock cameras have helped the police department solve crimes in the city? That's a big question. Will the sheriff and the prosecutor be there? Mrs. Larkin asked that they both be invited. Will they both be there tonight? We obviously know the sheriff is a big proponent of these flock cameras. And the other question is, how many people from the public are going to show up for tonight's meeting? So here we are. You know, I think the more people who show up, the better. But I think if it's under 10 people or under 15 people, it will show there's not a lot of interest. Then there's a big question of, will this legislation get through committee without eliminating the provision to get rid of flock cameras? Now, that might fall to 4th Ward City Councilman Nathan Stevenson and 5th Ward City Councilman Thaddeus Smith. You know, they're pushing this agenda. And also, I would say, at-large councilman now, Aaron Rollins, because he helped co-author this legislation. And how many votes are there? I think we'll get a pretty good idea about this tonight. Here's where we are. I thought about this morning. I think, as of now, well, we'll start taking the phone calls here, then we'll come back to this. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, good morning. How are you this lovely Monday morning?
Wonderful. I wish, though, that we could clear up this air quality issue, because yesterday, even though it was fairly clear, I'm not sure what happened. It got nasty again.
Yes, it did. They said that there was a cloud of smoke that was coming in behind the cold front that the wind or the storm, the rain and such had brought in. So there was a plume of smoke that was following behind it.
Well, it was,
and we're actually kind of in the orange for the rest of the week. We're not supposed to see anything like we did last week, though.
Well, it's very odd because Thursday, as I said, I noticed it Thursday, and I do believe I heard on Columbus Television that Thursday was the worst recorded air quality day in Columbus, Ohio history. Okay,
yes.
So Thursday was bad for everybody.
Yes.
Friday looked bad, and you probably shouldn't have been out in it, but it was better.
But it wasn't as bad.
Wasn't as bad. Saturday didn't seem bad at all after the rain came in. But yesterday, it certainly picked back up, and apparently the rest of the week. Yesterday, maybe it's because people have been out in it now for like 4 days, but I started to notice yesterday, people's voices are actually hoarsed, and they're really starting to have some trouble.
My throat was burning, and they said even, you know, on the days that they're definitely warning for sensitive people to stay indoors, but even on the days like today where we're saying it's not as bad, so we're willing to go out in it, that you're still inhaling the microparticles from the air. You know, we don't, and that's, my throat is a little bit irritated now that you said it. I have been doing a lot of reading about this now, because this has happened a few years ago and then this year, and I have family that lives up in Michigan, and I got a hold of them. They're about 5 hours north. And they actually had ash falling out of the sky onto their vehicles and onto the sidewalk and stuff. So they were staying indoors for a few days. But she said it was better in that the fire and brimstone wasn't falling from the sky anymore. Kind of got a giggle.
It's my understanding from Columbus News that what made this worse than a couple years ago was the air is not moving. And that's why it was the worst recorded day air quality in Columbus history. Probably was for us too. Last Thursday.
I would say Columbus. If it's Columbus's worst, it's probably ours. To 50 miles to the north. There's 900 different fires burning throughout Canada, and I didn't realize. I mean, I knew Canada was vast and a lot of it was wilderness, but 90% of Canada is uninhabited wilderness.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
I found that pretty interesting. I mean, I knew it was up there, but 90% is pretty high.
That's a lot.
You know, we're talking about putting tariffs on them, which is just absurd, to compensate for the lost commerce and such. I'm sure you've heard about that.
Oh, yes.
Just how absurd that is. But some of these areas are so remote that there is absolutely no way to reach them. And basically, they monitor them, and when they get to a point that, you know, there's an ability to try to contain them, they do, but some of them, it's just sort of hope that the weather changes, and I see that they're getting a lot of heavy rain up there right now, so hopefully that helps us, but more importantly them, because we're complaining about the air, and there are people just losing everything they own right and left
up
there.
I just want to say this real quick. Yesterday, I was with a younger, probably in his 20s, and he had been outside probably a fair amount the last 3 or 4 days. And he's definitely sick. I mean, he is hoarse. His voice does not sound the same. He said he was starting to have trouble breathing. Thank goodness, I think he was going to the doctor this morning. But this is somebody who I've never heard, and again, young, in his 20s, complain of these problems before. And I have to imagine it's due to this weather. So, you know, you can go out in your car and make those quick trips and so on and so forth.
Even that irritated me on Friday. I took Aaron to the oral surgeon, got his wisdom teeth out, and sat and waited for that. And then I had an appointment in the afternoon. Those are the only two trips I made out. And my afternoon appointment, I actually had my shirt over my nose inside the car because my sinuses and throat and chest were burning.
Yep, got to be careful. Got to be careful.
But, okay, so flock that, and let's talk about flock.
Yes.
But prayers to the people in Canada, legitimately, though, and let's hope for it. This is a global catastrophe, not political fodder. Let's keep that in mind, people. But to flock, you're talking about all these things that need to be discussed tonight. There's still that piece of legislation that we came across that flock needs to be voted on before it can be renewed. So aren't we kind of putting the cart before the horse?
Well, I would think somebody would bring that up tonight. I would hope so.
I think I will.
Yeah, before it got any further. Now, I don't know what the answer will be to that. I'm sure they're aware of it downtown. But it's interesting to me that I don't know. I'm interested to hear the answer to this question of why they're not, or why they should not vote to renew the flock cameras. I'm sure there will be some kind of logic as to why they shouldn't, but
why we shouldn't follow a city ordinance. There will be some sort of logic behind that. It's going to be asinine, but they'll come up with some reason. I agree with that.
Well, and there's also the idea of should Nathan Stevenson have been able to withdraw his second last week?
Did Mary ask the question? I never went back and listened. Did Mary ask?
I don't think she did, but that's my memory.
That's probably the technicality. Because I'd imagine that once they heard about that rule, they looked it up. And there was, two ways that they could withdraw the second. And one of them was that if the motion had not been uttered by the council president.
Somebody should probably check that out, because she might have. I don't know.
She might not have known what to do. She might have just been like, what? What's going on?
Well, there was just a lot of stuff going on there last week while that was going on, and it's not like the second was withdrawn immediately. So, I don't know.
I don't know if they put emergency legislation on that or not, but there's an interesting case right now. I know we've talked about emergency legislation in council and some on your show and how they just like to slap it on everything, and everything seems to get passed with an emergency clause. And there's a situation, it's Asheville, Ohio, if I'm not mistaken, it's Pickaway County, and I think it's around the Sunbury area, and they're city is trying to put in a data center, allow a data center to go in, and they gave them some pretty sweet tax deals and everything else to do it, and when they passed it with an emergency clause, which our city likes to do as well. They like to throw emergency clauses on everything, and they like to say it's because of the timing. They need stuff, you know, they're behind the ball, or they need the timing, or this, that, the other. That's not really what an emergency clause is supposed to be used for, and Mark Russell knows that. But this village, three people got together, they got a petition together, and they got it put on the ballot to stop this data center. Well, I'm not exactly sure how it works in their village, But their Board of Elections certified it. They said the language was good. Their signatures were good. It was ready to go on the ballot. Their village fiscal officer, which I haven't figured out why the fiscal officer would do it, but it's a village, so their setup might be a little different. Their fiscal officer refused to certify it. She said that it passed with an emergency provision, so therefore it was already past the referendum point, which is the voters' ability to put it on the ballot and decide. But because it had passed with an emergency clause, and she also said that it was an administrative decision, not a legislative decision, therefore the people didn't have a right to vote on it. So she wouldn't allow it to go on the ballot. These people sued their city, and the state Supreme Court is now hearing it, forcing their village to respond. I should say sued their village, forcing their village to respond over an improper use of the emergency clause. So I hope our city council looks into that and pays attention, because the Supreme Court's getting ready to crack down on your use of the continual use of the emergency clause. And apparently this isn't the only, we're not the only municipality that's having this issue. But the Supreme Court's getting ready to decide on that one. So everything that they like to pass up there with an emergency clause, y'all might want to take a step back, because apparently what these people did wasn't too terribly hard. They went through the Court of Claims, which only costs $25 to file, and the state Supreme Court's hearing their case. So that little area of the room that they like to gavel back there, I'm pretty sure we could all scrape together $25 and make their lives miserable.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I
the health, the safety, and the well-being are what emergency clauses are supposed to be used for. Not because we're behind and we need this legislation to pass faster, or we know this person and we don't want the voters to be able to do a referendum on this. Because in 7 days, you don't really have time to organize and get your paperwork filed. You will in 30 days. And that's why a lot of this stuff they pass with an emergency clause, they take away our ability to say, hey, we don't want this. So I wanted to put that out there, because I think this decorum stuff might have an emergency clause on it. But if not, at least 50% of everything they pass up there does. So that might be coming to a halt.
Well, but to be honest with you, and I just remember this from councils prior, I don't remember if they used emergency clauses a whole lot. I can't remember that. But if they wanted something passed quickly, it was just, you know, this is not something we need to have a lot of discussion on, and nobody from the audience is asking any questions, so we'll just suspend the rules and pass. I mean,
and
maybe
there's
that would
some
fun.
Things that are so cut and dry, like police radios, when they stand up and say, okay, it's police radios, $40,000 with a $10,000 match, we've already set aside the money. Boom. Suspend the rules and pass it.
Right, but I think that's what it'll eventually go to. See, that's one of those things that I think is very technical.
But it'll still take 30 days for that legislation to pass. They won't be able to slap an emergency clause. But you know what? In that situation, they actually might be able to, because that would be the safety of the city of Marion, our police officers having good radios. Now, annexing a piece of land into the city of Marion, that is not an emergency. So they're going to have to stop with the emergency clauses. And you know how Mark Russell told me the last time? I said, why are we annexing this land on an emergency when, you know, the state of Ohio already told me in the last situation they're going to take a look at the use of the emergency clause? And he told me to send it. And I said, okay. And then here Naomi finds a state Supreme Court case that's going to be decided here soon after Mark Russell challenges me to send it on to the state of Ohio. Challenge accepted, Mark Russell, I did. So, you know, there it is.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I think in a lot of cases they're just going to suspend the rules, and even though that would have to wait 30 days, I think...
You know, it might force them to do their jobs quickly and efficiently, because how many times have they came up there and said, we're late with this, we're late with this, we're late with this, and then they slap an emergency clause on it because they need it to go into effect immediately. And that's not what an emergency clause is for, so they might actually have to do their jobs and
well, you know, it's
be on time with stuff.
Honestly, most of the stuff that they do pass with emergency clauses are not critical. I just think they put them on there because they want to get it passed.
And they're not allowed, though, Scott. That's what a seasoned lawmaker would know, a seasoned legislator and a seasoned council president would know, you can't put an emergency clause on everything. It is the health, the safety, and there's one other. I keep wanting to say well-being, but I don't think that's it. Welfare. The health, the safety, and the welfare of the city. Explain to me how annexing a piece of land on an emergency helps the health, the safety, or the well-being of the city.
Well,
It has nothing to do with economic development. I looked it up. It has nothing to do with economic development whatsoever.
Well, I guess it'll be interesting to see how the court case gets decided. And
yes,
that will decide a lot. Now, if it doesn't go anywhere, then I guess they're in the clear.
No, the Supreme Court is there fast-tracking it because they want this on the ballot this November. So the decision will have to be made quickly.
You know, that's one of those things. I wonder how much of an interest people will take who are going on the ballot. Who are going to the ballot. I don't know. But back to the Flock camera thing. This is kind of emblematic of the Flock camera thing tonight to me. Because I believe if we get the same spiels that we have gotten before, because they've heard that. They've heard the surveillance. They've heard why do they need to look at us. They've heard all of that. They've heard it. Now, I'm not discounting that. I'm not saying
well,
that
like
you can't
to know
say
if
it.
Ralph Smith has educated himself on the topic when he's saying there's only four cameras, and I mean this respectfully at this point, when there are only four or five cameras in town, when we've come up with six on Center Street from City Hall down to Garfield Park. So I'd hope that he would at least take the opportunity to make himself more knowledgeable of the actual SWAT program in the city of Marion and what other cities are doing, because I think it's up to like 66 municipalities now have canceled their contracts with Flock this year. I told you Lowe's has a one in their parking lot, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah. Flock is dropping right and left.
Well, I just think there's a lot of moving parts tonight. Mrs. Larkin asked that the sheriff and the prosecutor be in attendance tonight. I don't know if they will be, but obviously I know the sheriff for sure is a big proponent of Flock. And
I think none of this matters. We need to vote on the ordinance that's already law, that's already established law.
Well, I don't think any of it matters either, but I do think that that committee, because this was put on the agenda, is going to look at it. And I also think,
if they don't vote on the ordinance that's already on the books, I'm turning it over to the auditor of state for malfeasance, misfeasance, and whatever the other word is. Because that is the absolute refusal of them to follow our own ordinances, and I don't get how you can be much more malfeasance or misfeasance than refusing to vote on an ordinance, refusing to do what an ordinance tells you. Like, do we get that opportunity? Do I get to say, I'm going to ride my e-bike. I don't care what that ordinance says. We don't. So why
well, the only thing I can think of is because allegedly the city did not enter into a new grant, because we've never been specifically told exactly how these things are being paid for, but the city doesn't have to pay anything. They might try to use that technicality. Because I believe the ordinance speaks directly to renewing the grant.
Renewing of the contract.
Right. So, when did the contract expire?
The end of June?
Right. So, I don't
even
know.
Even if we're not part of the contract is happening inside of our city. You know what I mean?
Right, which I think is what those, okay, here's this legislation now. I think that's probably...
But we should get to vote on the cameras inside of our city. You know, the sheriff shouldn't get to decide a contract for the city. If he does, then the city should get to decide whether we want to participate in that. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the question...
If they want to do that, then I'm just going to go ahead and forward it on to the state of Ohio and let them sort it out.
Well, I think the question would be, is why was there a contract the first time, but you don't need one this time? And who agreed to continue on with these things because it didn't go back in front of council? Because the first time, I do believe it was Mayor Schertzer who said it was okay to do it. Did Mayor Collins say it was okay? I mean, the police chief can't just say, let's... Well, but I don't think he's on record saying that.
I don't think anybody in the city, they put it all off onto the sheriff. When they asked McDonald, he said, the sheriff got a grant for $70,000, And they went ahead and continued the contract with Flock because I thought that was unusual that they were able to get the contract for $30,000 less
right,
than
but
what
hasn't,
it was last year.
But hasn't council beat Mayor Schertzer over the head for this before, saying he did this without the approval of council? Well, who did it this time?
Everybody.
No, I don't think they did, because council did not vote on it, and the police chief does not have the power to pass legislation. So who did it?
Everybody and nobody, because, well, the sheriff is the one that renewed the contract.
Not the sheriff, I mean the police chief. Right,
the city had nothing to do with any of it.
Well, somebody had to allow these things to continue in the city.
Well, we're just business as usual.
So there was no expiration date on the old contract for these to be in the city?
Yes, they were supposed to be, it was the end of June, remember,
okay.
Because Flock Guy was down here.
So who gave...
Because we were all like, there's a newspaper article about it.
Right, but so who continued it? Who said it was okay to continue? Well,
the
sheriff can't speak for that.
Who gave the sheriff permission to continue in the city? I guess that would just be a conversation they had amongst themselves because it was never had publicly.
But amongst
who? I would say the mayor and probably the police chief the sheriff.
Well, shouldn't somebody ask that question as well?
The three amigos.
Well, I don't know that for sure, but shouldn't somebody ask that?
You don't know that for sure. They all worked together at one point.
Right, but what I'm saying is...
Collins went and worked for bail.
Right, but what I'm saying is... I don't believe the sheriff has the power to do that.
He has countywide jurisdiction, but as...
Well, he did the first time
around. As you saw last Monday, they pulled it out of Mark Russell. He didn't want to admit, but yes, city council can do something about these things.
Right, but the first...
limits.
When the Flock cameras were put in, the sheriff did not have the power to do that, and that's what started the anger the first time, is because Schertzer signed...
Now, I'm not going to push back. I'm just not going to agree with you on that one, because I'd want to hear the story from Jason Schauber, because I remember... wasn't there a meeting where Schauber called him an MF-er and whatever over Flock cameras? Because the sheriff sort of said that he was going to do whatever he wanted to do, regardless of what city council said. So then city council was like, we're going to try to put some rules on this.
I'm pretty sure Mayor Schertzer went along with this. Because I have heard people knock him for not taking it to council, which is why I believe this ordinance came to be.
Okay. I really thought there was some kind of little head-to-head between Schauber and
was because of this, that it did not come to council. Somebody had to sign off on allowing these things in the city, and I believe it was Schertzer who did. Now, if I'm wrong on that, somebody...
Yeah, no, now I know
me.
Schertzer did. Schertzer did give permission for them to be put in the city.
Right, so when that contract expired, the sheriff does not have the power to do that without permission from the city. Who signed off on it this time?
No one, I don't think.
Well, somebody had to.
Them where they were. Well, somebody has to. In theory, there's a lot of things people are supposed to do in theory that we don't.
Well, if nobody signed off on them, now that's a case to be made.
And then there's probably some buried document somewhere that none of us know about, and they're like, oh, yeah.
Well, the original contract, what's the expiration date?
All I know is end of June. It's been renewed because we got these in, 23?
Right, so the contract that Schertzer signed did expire.
Yes.
So when that expired, his permission expired, and he's not there anymore. So who gave permission?
This was voted on in 24. I remember it
23,
coming up.
I think.
Well, I remember it coming up the following year, though, because... Schauber had a problem with it, and it was like what our contribution was going to be as the city, because we did contribute in 24 and 25, I believe, to Flock, and we didn't have the money for it this year, but somehow they continued. I don't know. Probably have to go back and look at that one to see if it was voted on.
All I'm saying is if there is the idea that this legislation from 23 does not matter because we did not sign a new contract,
they need the mayor to sign a new piece of legislation, say that they have permission to be up.
Right. And if he did, I think the question would be, why did you not bring that to council? Why did you not alert us that you were doing this? You know, I think there are some odd questions, because I just think if tonight is the same, and again, I'm not saying it's wrong, if it's the same stuff we've heard for 4 months, I don't think that's going to change anybody's mind, because they've already heard that.
Right. Well, but then what changes their minds if they've already heard all the arguments that are already being made?
I think legislation that they were not aware of. I think signatures on contracts, like the mayor signing this, if he did, that they're not aware of. Or lack of a signature on a contract, which they might be aware of or not aware of. I also think that there's a case to be made of is the part of the legislation about removing the flock cameras going to be taken out of the legislation before it's passed on to council. You know, I think that's a big part of it. I don't think it's so much what we think these flock cameras are doing. The whole point of this legislation was to remove them, and if somebody tries to take that out, I think that's a big legislative problem.
Yeah, it's pointless.
I still think somebody should bring up this ordinance from 2023 and see what the answer is. And I'd love to hear Mark Russell try to explain why this vote
way out of that one.
Yeah, but if he does, okay, that's fine. Well, who did sign the contract when they were renewed a few weeks ago? Because council has already said they weren't even aware that they were going to continue. I mean, I think the mayor had to tell them that.
I think it was McDonald.
Might have been.
Someone asked, and he said that the mayor, or that the sheriff, was able to get a grant for $70,000.
Right.
But again,
right.
I go back to, it was supposed to cost $100,000, but somehow our $70,000 grant flock said, that'll do.
Well, and how many people will show up tonight for this? You know, there certainly is a lot of outrage on the social media front, but, you know, we'll see how that
show
goes.
Up is a whole different thing.
It is, and I also wonder, you know, Ralph Smith says he got these phone calls saying that people are in support of flock cameras. Is somebody going to ask him how many phone calls he got?
I wonder what their interest would be if we started an online petition. You think they would care about that?
Well, I do, because I do believe some of these people, like Ralph Smith, I do believe he wants to vote what the Third Ward wants to do. But I think they are just, I don't know. I just think there are a lot of ways this could go tonight. I would imagine Aaron and Thad and Nathan are...
There's a list floating around right now of flock cameras in Marion, and it's not all-encompassing, because I know of, my nose is running. I know of cameras. There's one, I live on Silver Street near Leader. There's one on the end of Silver, right by the Prospect Street overpass, and then if you go up Leader Street, there's one right by Job and Family Services. So those aren't even on their list, but that's how close some of these cameras are together. And then we talked about the six on Center Street. But there's about 18 cameras inside the city of Marion that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm going to go around and look for some more, because I know I've missed some on that list. So there's probably more, around 20 cameras inside the city of Marion. Why?
Well, here's the thing.
Why are they at less than a half a mile apart?
Well, here's the thing on this. I think it's very interesting if they do try to eliminate the legislation, the part of it, to eliminate them. Because my guess in what will happen...
Clark and Smith are going to strike that. And I just hope that they make a motion when it makes it back to full council for an amendment, and you get your first and your second, and then force them to vote on it.
Well, I don't know that they'll strike it. Because I would imagine that Rollins and Stevenson and Thad will go to the podium tonight to speak as to, this was the whole point of this legislation, why are you striking that from the legislation? And I also think it's worth asking the question to Ralph or Dan Clark, if they are the big opposition here. You know, Aaron Rollins said on this program last week that there are 5 votes to get rid of these. Now, why would you strike something that had 5 votes to pass?
Well, then you know what? All 5 of those council members need to get up tonight and say, let this go to full council. You guys say that all the time. Let it go to full council. Let the full council decide. Okay, let the full council decide.
Because, as I said, I believe the plan tonight is probably to put stopgaps in this legislation. You know, they can only read license plates, so on and so forth, and strike the part about voting to get rid of them altogether.
Okay, even if they only read license plates, they still can reconstruct. As I just said, I can't leave my street and not be hit by a flock camera. It's impossible. It doesn't matter if I head north, if I head south, if I head west, if I head east. I'm getting hit by a flock camera before I leave a quarter or an eighth mile of my house. How true is that for everybody else, and why do they need that?
Why do they need that?
And they can hold that then for 30. I know we're getting back into the reasons we've already talked about, but we need some answers to those questions, too. Okay, if you want to keep them, then explain why we need them to this level. Make us understand that. Maybe we won't hate them as bad. Maybe if you can justify why you need to get us every eighth mile, then we'll understand.
Well, I just think it's interesting that you've
Don't you think that would help? I mean, education? Put the fear to rest? You know, if you're not watching us, if this is really just about reading our license plates, why do you need six of them on the same street?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, those are valid questions to me.
Yeah, I think they're valid questions, but I just think that there is, you know, if there is legislation put forth to go to committee, and a sitting councilman has said, we have the votes to get rid of these, that means only four council people, at most, are voting against them.
Well, two of them happen to be sitting on the...
Right, well, but that's the question.
To make it pass.
Why would you halt legislation that has the ability to pass council? Why would you do that?
According to Ralph Smith, he's not allowed to do that anymore, remember?
Well, I don't know. I think that's
well, he
something...
Said you asked him on the show, and everything has to move forward. He said he would not vote to let the... Because he wants the cameras gone. Or not doesn't want them gone. He wants them to stay. Danny Clark wants them to stay. They're going to amend that legislation, and if they don't, I'll buy you a Diet Coke.
Well,
I will be shocked.
I think that all depends on what Rollins says. I think that all depends on what Stevenson says. I think that all depends on what Smith says. Thad Smith, and I think it all depends on are people asking the question: why did we not take a vote on this old legislation? Who did sign the renewal for these flock cameras, and why was nobody told about that? Why?
Now, don't you believe some of those questions should be from the council members that will be there tonight?
I would hope.
I mean, the public, obviously, we should ask them if they don't, but those should come from the other council members.
Yeah, I would hope.
Because that's usurping their authority. And as much as they all love their authority, they should want to vote on this because it's their job.
Well, it was clear to me that they did not want that vote to happen last week.
No, obvious. I was home and it was obvious.
Right. So, what's going to get that vote back to council? That's the question. And where do people stand on this?
Let them get that, I keep wanting to call it a bill. Let them get that piece of legislation they're talking about tonight. Let them get it. Pass it on to full council. Make your motion to amend. Make the amendment to remove all the cameras. Get somebody to second it. I'll second it from the audience. And then force a vote on just that. Force a vote on just that and let everybody see where their representative stands. And then if you've got your five votes, that's where that vote can happen. So
well,
there's the workaround around Ralph Smith and Sally Jesse.
So you want to... Okay,
let Ralph Smith and Sally Jesse gut it tonight. Let them have their way with it. Let it go to full council, and then when they go to vote on it, old Thad throws his hand up and says, make a motion to amend to remove all flock cameras from the city of Marion. Rollins says, second, and then all nine of them have to vote on that amendment.
Now, how many do you think they'll get?
But if you said there's the five votes,
well, Rollins said there's the five. I didn't.
Okay. Well,
I'm still not sure there is the five.
Well, I'm not either. But if Rollins thinks there's the five votes, there's his chance to get them, right?
Well, there is,
that amendment would pass, and then hurry up and suspend that one so nobody changes their damn minds.
Yeah, but how many votes do you need for a suspension?
Oh, shit, you're right. Seven.
I don't think that's the way to go.
No, that's not going to happen. So just amend it.
Well, that's why I said, I think tonight is where it has to go. I mean, I think tonight the people who wrote this legislation, Aaron Rollins and Thad Smith, should have a real problem with their legislation being amended to take out the whole point of the legislation if that's what happened.
It happened to Schauber with party votes.
Well, yeah, but...
So it's not unheard of.
Well, no, but I don't think he also had the votes, clearly, to get that thing over the finish line. And Aaron says that he has the votes to get this over the finish line. You know, I think that's a completely different situation. And
it's like DC politics.
Well, I mean, you got to count the... Listen, the best politicians are vote counters.
And the majority whip and out-caucusing votes and... Yeah.
Well, I'm interested to see who the fifth vote is. Is it Mrs. Larkin? Is it Bill Dickey?
I've been told it might be her. I've been told it might be her.
I honestly don't
know enough about her personally to say whether she would be for or against these.
Well, she seems like the person to me who if she believes these are surveillance, she's the one who asked for the prosecutor and the sheriff, and she did that on her own, and I'm guessing that's because she's got some questions.
I hope they get answered, as I'm pumping myself full of allergy medicine here, sorry.
No, I'm just saying I think she didn't ask for them to be there because she was totally made up on this.
Well, I also think she posed that as sort of a suggestion, as Thad tends to do. Should we get the prosecutor and the county sheriff here? Not, I would like the prosecutor and the county sheriff to be invited. So she's another one that...
Well, if the prosecutor's not there tonight, I'm sure the sheriff will be if he can.
She's never been nasty to me, so I don't have a reason to dislike her. I wish she would flex a little more. You know, occasionally I see it like shining through, just getting ready to break through, sort of like that. I see his moments of brightness. I don't mean like intelligence-wise. I mean, I see his moments of greatness, and he's just so close to going over the edge of being just superb, and he stops. So I'm seeing that with her. Like, she'll start to take a step forward into, you know, asking questions or doing something, but then she stops.
Well,
she can stop second-guessing herself.
You know? I don't think Nathan, and I don't think Rollins, and I don't think Thad will back off of this tonight.
Good. I hope they don't.
Well, Thad and well, I know Rollins has some strong feelings about it, but Thad and Nathan really have some strong feelings about it.
Hey, Dickton's a paperwork kind of guy, a by-the-book, whatever. This 2023 ordinance, he should want to vote on it. He's a technical fellow.
That's a question. You know, I'm not sure that...
I mean, he likes process and that sort of thing. He was one that wanted to see the legislation. Okay, well, here's a new piece, but we also found an old one.
And to me, I would think the old one is still valid no matter what the reasoning is that they will give not to vote on it.
Well, and we'll find out what the state of Ohio thinks if we don't vote on it.
Well, I'm interested to see how it all shakes out tonight. I'm interested to see if a lot of people show up. I'm interested to see if the sheriff shows up. I'm interested to see if the prosecutor shows up. I'm interested to see what council people speak on this tonight or who does speak on this. Because I'm wondering, you know, I think
to
this
your
is...
listeners, I know they're, it's strange. Your listeners, we're a weird group of family that we all just feel like we know each other, and people have reached out to me on Facebook, and people talk to me in public, and I know they do the same thing to you, and you know, we like each other, and we get along. Listeners, come up tonight. You don't have to talk. If this is something that interests you or anything else, it'll be one of the first things they discuss tonight. Just come up. You don't have to say anything. Maybe your presence alone, they'll be like, wow, people are interested and they're paying attention to this.
Well, a lot of people showed up last week, and I don't even think people knew that this was going to be a thing. So, here we go.
And Scott Spears, the great uniter.
Yeah, put that on me. Those people will never talk to me again.
We'll put that on a mug.
Put that on the... Yeah, oh, that's right. God love the mug. Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care, Spears.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything. With most parents, you know, all the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real, because most mothers lose their temper sometimes.